This edition of Kosher Tidbits will discuss Marasayin. Walking down the supermarket aisle, we often find interesting things on the shelf. Years ago, the thought of pair of cream cheese, pair of chicken soup, vegetarian chicken nuggets, pair of ice cream, or meatless meatballs would have sounded like a frivolous joke. However, today, these products and the like are in high demand and sold at kosher stores around the U.S. and abroad. The power of market, for example, has become increasingly popular in recent years, and food companies have actively pursued innovative ways to create power versions of products traditionally assumed to be milchik, dairy, or fleishik, meat. Nevertheless, a product might be perfectly 100% kosher and still be subject to scrutiny vis-a-vis the Shulchan Aruch. Let us briefly examine the issue of Marasayin, the way that it affects modern-day kosher supervision, and the food we bring into our homes. Marasayin may be loosely defined as actions that, strictly speaking, are permitted, according to halacha, but nevertheless give onlookers the impression that one is doing or has done something that is prohibited. In these instances, there's a rabbinic prohibition to engage in these sort of activities, and there are many examples of Marasayin found in Chazal and halachic literature. One classic example is the prohibition of hanging wet clothes outside on Shabbos, since it gives the impression that laundry was done on Shabbos. Issues of Marasayin as it pertains to food are discussed in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. For example, according to the letter of the law, blood from fish is permitted. Nevertheless, its consumption is prohibited since its appearance is identical to that of drinking blood from an animal. Nonetheless, if fish scales are present and noticeable at the time of consumption, it is permitted. The reason for this distinction is that the presence of fish scales removes any suspicion that the consumer is drinking animal blood. An onlooker would simply notice the scales and assume that the individual is drinking blood from a fish. Likewise, blood from a human being is permitted unless it is noticeable as a separate entity. Therefore, although it is permissible to swallow blood in one's mouth from bleeding gums, it is, however, prohibited to consume that blood if it were noticed on one's food while eating. In that event, the blood must be scraped from the food. This requirement is also because of Marasayin, since any blood on the food could have possibly originated from anywhere, including an animal. The Ramah discusses and permits a practice of mixing chicken with nut milk, despite its appearance as basal b'chalav. The Ramah explains that since mixing chicken with cow's milk is a rabbinic prohibition, Marasayin does not apply. Nevertheless, if one would mix nut milk with beef, Marasayin would apply and that practice will become prohibited. This is because mixing beef and cow's milk constitutes basar b'chalav and violates the Torah prohibition. When mixing beef and nut milk, nuts should be present lest onlookers suspect that one is violating the prohibition of basar b'chalav midoraisa. According to the Ramah, Marasayin does not apply to prohibitions that are rabbinic in nature. Nevertheless, there is a dispute amongst various authorities whether to accept the Ramah's approach. The Taz accepted the Ramah in principle, but ruled that it is proper to place nuts when mixing nut milk with chicken. The Shach disagreed with the Ramah's ruling and did not accept the distinction between Yisui Derabanan and Deraisa. According to the Shach, Marasayin applies equally to Torah and rabbinic prohibitions. Nowadays, with the advent of a booming power of market, many traditionally dairy products are now actually available in powder form. As a result, the usage of these products while or after eating meat comes into question. Specifically, is it permissible to use margarine at a fleishik meal, or is its appearance too similar to butter? Moreover, may one serve powder ice cream or coffee creamy afterward? Rav Avadya Yosef wrote a teshuvah addressing this very issue. In this teshuvah, he points out that according to the Ramah, there is certainly no concern of Marasayin unless there is a possible perception that a Torah prohibition is being violated. Therefore, since eating dairy after a meat meal is a rabbinic prohibition, according to the Ramah, there should be no issue consuming these products after eating meat. However, as many authorities disagreed with the Ramah's position, is there any basis to permit the common practice of using these products as dairy substitutes when consuming dairy is not allowed? Moreover, what about a situation where the use of a power product has the appearance of violating an Issa Deraisa? To answer this question, Rav Avadya quotes an opinion of the Rush, Anita, who maintains that Chazal's disallowance of mixing wool and silk, or linen and silk, because of Marasayin, was only applicable during a time when silk was uncommon. However, since Maris Ayin essentially depends on whether an activity lends itself to suspicion of violating an Isser, at a time when silk is common, there shouldn't be a problem mixing this material with wool or linen. According to the Rush, once silk becomes a common material, there's no reason to suspect that a clothing of mixed fibers of wool and silk or linen and silk contains shanis. This position of the Rush is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and is accepted by Ashkenazim and Sfaradim alike. The Rush's opinion provides a fundamental idea within the prohibition of Maris Ayin. When an activity is commonly done in a permitted fashion, concerns us a suspicion and the prohibition of Maris Ayin should not apply. It appears that the widespread popularity of these products helps address concerns of Maris Ayin. Since Maris Ayin is a question of perception, and whether onlookers would suspect that one's behavior is in violation of halacha, the common everyday usage of these products should remove any possible suspicion. Since these power substitutes for dairy or meat are used regularly by many, there is no reason to suspect someone of not acting in accordance with halacha, but rather using a power of imitation. Thank you very much for tuning in to this edition of Kosher Tidbits.